podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard it made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Here's the agenda for the podcast. My goal is to keep it around 40 minutes and keep it chock full of content. First, I'll lead with a quick introduction. Then, we'll give you the equipment check, where we talk about some piece of a technology or other collateral running stuff. Each show will be wrapped around a featured segment, where we interview someone interesting from our running world. I'll follow that with a quick tip derived from my centuries of running experience. We'll wrap it up with some music of our guest choosing from the PodSafe Music Network. Some things we're not going to do. I'm going to try to avoid recording myself while running. All that heavy breathing is just a little creepy for me. And there'll be no extended monologuing. I'm going to try to keep to the facts. If you want the emotional content, you can visit my blog, the Runnerati blog, at www.runrunlive.com. Please leave me an audio comment at, and you better write this down, or better yet, program the number into your cell phone, 206-339-7804, or send me an email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. And thanks for listening. Let me know what you think. Plus, you know, the more comments you leave, the less you have to listen to me talk. So, are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Hey, this is Chris, and welcome to episode 10 of the Run Run Live podcast. It's made it to a decade already. I'm only been a month, so I'm doing pretty well. This is sort of an episode of circumstance, because I had another episode planned, and I had a great conversation today. Spent about a half an hour on the phone with Dave McGillivray of the Boston Marathon, but I forgot to hit the record button, or something got screwed up on the conference call, so it didn't happen. But I was on the phone tonight. I called one of my buddies, actually the best man at my wedding, about 450 years ago, and Dan. And it turns out he's riding a 101-mile trail bike race tomorrow. So he's sort of an athletic crazy guy, too. Big windsurfer. Good-looking guy, you know. He's one of those guys I've been living my life vicariously through for years. But so I said, hey, Dan, wait, let me hit the record button. So I recorded Dan and his thoughts about this 100-mile trail race tomorrow. So this is my intervening podcast, and then we'll get in the Wayback Machine and go back to episode 9 if I can get Mr. McGillivray back on the phone on Monday. He seems to have been understanding, but maybe he won't be. Maybe I missed my opportunity forever. So we'll do this, and I'll give you a nice tip and a nice long equipment check, and we'll get you in under 40 minutes and give you some good tunes too. So everything's cool. Hopefully I can get this up. It's Friday night, the 25th. I can get this up so you guys can listen to it on your run, and I'll be listening to your podcast on my long run tomorrow. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to do 30 tomorrow just to see how it feels. So see how that goes. All right, we'll see ya. One more thing. I have to tell you that I had to bleep out some of Dan's salty language, so you'll have to work your way around that. No offense intended.
And now for the equipment check.
This is Chris. I'm out with Buddy out here in the woods. That's him shaking off the water in the stream there. A lot of mosquitoes out today. Pretty muggy. They get about 9 miles in today. Ran over the weekend, did 4 hours on Saturday, which I felt really good, and then another three or so on Sunday, which was really a struggle. So I think what this program is doing is it's trying to get you to run while you're tired. That's what that's it's, so it's like one big workout, right? It's the Sunday bit is like an extension, and it's to get you to run when you're tired. I think I'd rather like just doing a really long run with a cool down, but what can you do, man? That's the schedule. I'm following it. Somebody smart wrote it over at Rodale. So, hey, I got a device that can help you out here. One of the things that's really prevalent in new runners and in male runners especially is Achilles tendonitis. Tendonitis is tickling the Achilles. It's from the Achilles runs from your heel up to your back of your leg. It's a tendon, but there's a sheath that goes around it. And typically what happens is that sheath gets inflamed because of the rubbing. And most people don't know how to stretch it. There's a stretch you can do. It's not going to kill you to run with the tendonitis. It actually feels better after it warms up. And I'm just talking about this because I got some right now. I get it from running on the road. Soft surfaces tend to keep me from getting it. But you want a good pair of cushion shoes with high heels is one thing. Higher heels, higher lift will help you with the Achilles. But you got to get an interior stretch. So you have to search on the different kind of stretch for the Achilles, not just the normal stretches. So the other thing you can get is what's known as an Achilles splint. And the splint is like a boot. It's like a half cast that you can wear at night, and it keeps your foot in the flex position, and it actually does wonders for your Achilles. But I mean, if it starts getting really bad, you might develop tears, and the tears are known as tendinosis. But you'll know that because it'll swell up like a grapefruit. So, I mean, you can run through an Achilles tendonitis as long as you stretch and treat it. Ice is always a good thing after you run. So if you're starting running or you've been running for a while, you know Achilles tendonitis, and so shoot me an email and I'll tell you how to do the best stretch. I gotta go.
And now for our featured interview.
Do I have you?
Yes, you do.
Hey, you know what?
What?
I had an excellent conversation this morning with Dave McGilvery. You know,
with Dave McGilvery.
You know Dave.
Bart's brother?
No, the guy, the race director for the Boston Marathon.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I forgot to record it.
Oh, man.
It was a great one, though.
Yeah? When did you guys get tight?
Oh, well, you know how I am.
Yeah.
I'm insipid that way. What's
friends of, with powerful people.
Yeah, I think there's a word for that. Syncofan, right?
Yeah, that works too.
He wrote a book a couple of years back, and I bought it and read it, and I left him a kind note on Amazon.com.
Log rolling in our time, so he did the same thing for you?
Yeah, so, and then he sent me, like, an nice autographed book and everything. It was really sweet, and he's a nice guy, but he's one of those guys who sleeps, like, an hour a day and,
right.
You know, is compulsively good the rest of the time, so he's an interesting guy.
And he's, physiologically, they say there's no reason to sleep.
Yeah, well, I can't agree with that. But
no, neither can I.
So you're in where in Pennsylvania?
Those people. We are in Coburn, Pennsylvania, somewhere out 80.
Yeah, like, so is the rest of Pennsylvania, though, isn't it? Is it by, like, State College?
Yeah. Yeah, we're about 20 miles east of State College.
This buddy, the Wonder Dog, wants me to throw the Frisbee. That's where my wife's family is from.
You kidding me? They're not Amish, are they?
No, but you were talking about banjo playing and missing teeth and that sort of thing.
Oh, shit, but, yeah, boy.
A lot of deer hunting.
Yep.
Sweet people.
Yep, this is pretty backwoods. It's pretty, really. We took a little warm-up pedal and got up to the top of some little climb and had a beautiful lookout over the valley. It was pretty nice.
I imagine this has got to be a hilly course. What is the name of this race?
It's the Wilderness 101. And this the way it's described is it's a long rolling course. So you got it's either climbing or descending pretty much the whole time, but the climbs aren't really steep. You know, overall it's only about 10,000 feet of climbing. So in 100 miles, it's just a little bit more vertical than the Vermont 50, the one you're contemplating running.
I'm still smarting from you telling me I can't sleep in your condo. 'Cause you don't have
I'm hoping you can, but I just can't promise it at this point because we know that it's fairly full, you know, and it's going to have to come down to one of those because we have names on all the spots right now, but that could change. So we're gonna work on it for you.
No, I'm just kidding you. Actually, Yvonne surprised me.
I could kill off one of my kids or something, you know.
Yvonne surprised me. She said, "What weekend is that race?" Like she's putting it on her calendar, and I'm like, "Wow, she hasn't done that for years."
Wow, but, so she's gonna come up and watch?
Yeah. So I guess stepping up to the ultra, it's a new, certainly is a new frontier.
So she likes to see you suffer.
She does like to see me suffer. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gives her unlimited opportunities to tell me, "I told you so."
Right.
But yeah, last weekend I got up over 24 on Saturday, and then I did like 18 on Sunday.
Beautiful. How'd you feel?
Saturday felt great. Sunday felt miserable.
Yeah.
I have to ask your opinion about this, because this program they got me doing has these back-to-back workouts. What the
right.
hell? Running that other Hal Higdon marathon program I did. And I guess the theory is it's supposed to be one big workout.
Right.
But I'd much rather run, you know, 30 miles and then do a, you know, a short run on Sunday than...
Right, a little recovery thing to get your legs going.
Yeah. Wondering what they do. You're biking it, so, I mean, what's the bike training for these things like?
Oh, hell, you know, I mean, ideally, you're putting in a lot of base miles, and then, you know, tapering and doing a lot of speed work and then hitting it. You know, the heavy hitters that race these, you know, 100 miles will do a, you know, they'll do... You know, it's all time related, you know, so they'll get out on a weekend, you know, they're looking at doing an 8-hour ride on Saturday on the road and then a, you know, 4 or 5 on the mountain bike on Sunday. And then during the week, it's, you know, maybe 1 or 2 hard workouts and everything else is just easy.
Yeah. So in the grand scheme of things, 50 miles isn't really a distance event on the bicycle. It is in the woods, though, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, and that's a tough one because there's a lot of climbing. You know, this is 100 miles, so this is the ultra endurance. Anything over 37 is considered marathon distance. 37, I assume, equates to some kilometric distance that is more reasonable than why 37 is the number.
37 is probably 50 kilometers, right? We'll have to ask one of our Canadian friends.
Yeah, exactly, something like that. So anything over 50K, anything over 50K is marathon distance, and... The 100 miles are called ultra endurance.
Let me think about that. No, 42.2K is 26 miles. Well, whatever.
So tell me about running up Mount Washington. How'd that go?
It was actually a super race. We got a really nice day, and I ran up and down, and I had trained for it, so it wasn't, you know, I thought it was going to be pretty much a suffer fest because I'm not really designed for running up mountains. You know,
right.
That thrust-to-weight ratio.
Right.
But since I was in decent shape and I just sort of paced myself, I did this, you know, sort of run-walk thing on a
right.
split. I went right through it, and I was strong at the end. It was great.
Beautiful.
It took me like an hour and 40 minutes. It was a super day.
Right. Nice. And was that about the time you were hoping for?
Yeah, it was somewhere around there. I was happy
right.
enough with that. Yeah, I wasn't really trying to race it. I was just trying to feel good about it, you know, have fun.
Right.
But my buddy who didn't train the hills as much as I did, who ran it with me, said it was kind of like the last 3 miles of a marathon. The
right.
whole race, you know?
No way. Right.
So, like, you go from the death shuffle to the walk to the death shuffle.
Right.
And so, but the mountain races in general, it was a real learning experience for me. You know, you try new things.
Definitely. Right. And how was the running down? Was that fun too?
It was about 2 miles longer than I needed to run that day. I really felt it. I felt it in the quads the next day.
I bet. Yeah, that's supposed to be the.
So I'm on the.
So is that like the hard guy thing to do to hit it both ways?
I just wanted to, because I'm doing this thing where I'm sort of overlapping my goals. So I was already
right.
starting to train for the ultra before Washington, and I was already training for Washington before Boston. Right. So I'm
right.
sort of overlapping my goals. And I found that's very useful to keep me from being held accountable for anything.
Sure.
Because there's always something else coming up.
I go, that's a good idea.
That wasn't that important anyhow. I guess there's another thing I'm working on. But the other thing is it keeps you having something to train on. Because one of my classic moves is train for a marathon and then not doing anything for like 4 months after that, you know?
Right, right.
Having no
training. So now you just kind of blur it all together.
Right. Because you know what, I like the training better than the racing, so.
But it is when it's over. So now I'm sitting on my ass. I'm drinking a beer.
So you guys are in training for the race tomorrow, doing your cargo
loading. Yes, we we've cleaned and obsessed over our bicycles, and now you know, there's a whole field full of cleaning and obsessing bike geeks, which is and then everybody will be a little freaked out tomorrow morning because that's what they do.
I wonder if he's ever washed his running shoes.
have you obsessively polished your running shoes? Tom asks. And then tomorrow about 5, everybody will be getting up and desperately trying to take a shit before they have to race. And
hey,
and
sit on the radio.
What's that? You're not allowed to say shit. You're not allowed to say shit.
Well, you can say whatever you want.
I thought so. And,
who are you there with?
Tom and a friend of ours, Blake.
All right, well, say hi to Tom for me.
I certainly will. Tom, Chris Russell says hello. He says hi.
All right, great. Stop. See, we're still moving after all these years.
What's that?
I said they all thought we were going to be dead by the time we get to this age.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you going to try and go up to Rob O'Regan's party? And did he invite you to that?
Well, that would be if I was invited.
Right. That was my next question, whether you got invited or not.
No, but that's no problem. I could call him and invite myself.
I figured you guys were tight enough that you could do that.
So how does this race you're doing tomorrow compare with that other nutty one that you guys tried to ride before that you DNF'd at out in...
The one out in Leadville?
Yeah.
This is... The winning time is very similar, you know, so the top guys will finish in just under 7 hours, and, you know, us mortals will rejoice in under 10 hours, and you know, if you're out over 12 hours, you should quit. But the there is no altitude here.
Okay.
You know, and that's the thing out there, Leadville, it's just the altitude is f***ing horrible, and so... That's the big difference.
Yeah, I think that's another one of those words you're not supposed to say.
But why? I mean, this is the Brave New World, isn't it?
I guess it is. The Howard Stern
right?
Hey, so,
right.
You get your family with it, or is it just you and the boys?
Just me and the boys. Lisa's out in Kansas City for a jewelry convention, and my mom is actually at home with the girls. Where are you? You down in Harwichport, or?
No, I'm sitting on my front porch out in Littleton.
Yeah, there you go.
I was out there over the 4th, but I didn't call you up because you had said you were just getting back from traveling or something.
Yeah, we went out to Idaho for a couple weeks and got back on the 3rd. Had a nice trip out to Idaho.
So you want to tell your Floyd Landis story?
The Leadville drinking whiskey with Floyd Landis?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so we're in Leadville, Colorado, and we had decided that Pabst Blue Ribbon was the thing to drink at the time because it was really cheap, and for whatever reason, we were traveling cheap. And we walked into this, what was the name of that bar in Leadville? Silver Dollar?
Yeah.
I think it was the Silver Dollar Saloon. You know, Leadville's an old mining town, and, you know, it's still got that western feel, and it's all desiccated and dried out at 10,000 feet. And
yeah.
Walk in there, and I got to hit the heads. I come back out, and Tom's at the bar ordering a couple PBRs, and this guy turns to him and says, "Hey, Pabst Blue Ribbon," and points at his sweatshirt, and it says Pabst Blue Ribbon, and wearing the sweatshirt is Floyd Landis. And, so we proceeded to drink. Now, if you're being honest, was it 2 bottles of Jack and 12 taps PBRs between us? Yeah. So maybe 3 bottles of Jack? No, it couldn't have been that much. It was a lot.
If you still remember, it wasn't that much.
Well, I got to tell you, the woman, the bartender, when we left, had to go down and restock the bar because we drank the bar out of Jack.
With Floyd Landis. And you were racing the next day?
It was actually 2 days hence.
Oh, okay.
Which,
well, that's okay.
Well, you know, so that's great. Yeah, Floyd had ridden about 120 miles, and he actually came in second after crashing twice. As we know, I DNF'd, and Tom was the last guy to finish.
There was some guy I was listening today, some guy at the Vermont 100, I think it was, who finished.
Oh, up in Jay?
Yeah, and he finished, but it wasn't the bike race, it was the Ultra Marathon. He finished,
oh, okay.
A 71-year-old guy, he finished 11 seconds ahead of the time limit.
Wow.
By 11 seconds, 71 years old. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't stand a chance. I can't even outlive my competition.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. That's impressive. I'd love to be that old and be able to move like that. Imagine having the joints that work like that. How'd your knees feel after running down Washington?
The knees were okay. The knees were okay. I got a pretty neutral stride right now. My joints are
right.
Supposed to me. I got a little Achilles going just because I get talked into a pair of shoes that's a little bit of a motion control shoe, and I don't really like them, but I'm too cheap to buy new shoes until I
wear
them.
Pick your pick. They're in the bag there. There's a little one and a big one. Sorry, there was somebody looking for a camelback, and I got a couple extra ones that I brought.
Oh, you wear a camelback? What do you eat on the ride?
No, I'm not going to bring a camelback because I hate them. So I'm going to carry an extra bottle in my pocket. You eat everything.
What do you do, hamagels or just...
This one's interesting. There's no goos because the goo packs have been getting everywhere. So they're giving out hammer gels. And then they're having that awful heat at the stations. There's five stations. And right in that white bag, there's two different camelbacks. What's that? I'm not going to ride with one. So take your pick.
I've been using... a buddy of mine is sponsored by Hammer Nutrition. And he gave me a big bottle of Heed. And I've been using it on my long runs. And
I can't tell
if it works or not.
I hate it. Oh, it tastes so bad, and that the grease in it, you know, the protein in it, the milk, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, that just does me in.
Yeah. Oh well, you know, it doesn't hit me one way or the other, but I can't feel it, so it's either working or it isn't working. Gatorade's just a little too harsh for me.
Yeah, I like Gatorade watered down. Well, I like
watered
it
down Gatorade's okay, but after a couple hours, it makes my teeth ache and gives me a sick stomach. The heat seems to be better for that, but you know, to each his own. It's a personal choice, right?
Absolutely, that's totally it, you know, because you're out there suffering, so you might as well like what you're ingesting. But anyway, so they gave out hammer gel bottles, and there's no goo packs allowed. And then, you know, there's five aid stations, so we'll be rolling through, and, you know, you'll be able to refill your hammer bottles, and there'll be, you know, oatmeal cookies and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and all that kind of stuff. What's that?
T-bone steaks and venison sausages.
I mean, we're in that kind of town, yeah.
Yeah, you are. You probably hit a deer on your trail ride tomorrow.
We saw a dead deer just coming out here. There was one wrapped up on the side of the road. The guy Blake is from Arkansas, and he wanted to pull over and get that thing. But
pull
I
over
thought
and
it looked,
pick it up.
Yeah, I think he looked a little ripe, so I wouldn't let him stop.
There's parts of that turnpike where they put up fencing to keep the deer out. And instead, it keeps the deer in once they get in, and it's like a...
then it's like a pinball gallery.
It's like you go through there, there's like hunks of venison hanging from the fence, you know?
Drying it. Right, letting it dry so you get your venison jerky.
So, all right. Well, I wanted to give you a call and talk to you. I don't want to waste all your quarters, though.
No worries.
Make you worry about your race tomorrow. Good luck.
All right, man. I appreciate it, and I'll give you a shout and let you know how we did.
Yeah, and I got to get down the Cape. I'll probably be taking some time in August. I'll get down there, and we'll go, and we'll hang. We'll chillax.
Beautiful.
All right, man. Good luck. Let me know how it
works out.
Here's today's quick tips.
Okay, so anybody who's run with me over the last couple of weeks has heard about Anthony's energy balls. That's what I call them. He calls them endurance snacks. But here's the deal. When you're doing these ultramarathon training stuff, you're out running for like 6 hours, you know, you have to eat while you're running or else you break down. And you can't just eat Gatorade and sugary stuff because you'll burn out. You have to eat some real food, you know, or some simulation of real food, whatever the real food analog is that you take with you. So Anthony said, okay, I got something for you that we use in our long bike rides. These are energy snacks, and I'll give you the recipe. So I'm going to read you the Anthony's energy snacks, endurance snacks recipe. And I think they'd make awesome cookies if you cooked them, but I'll talk more about that afterwards. So here we go. This recipe provides a great balance of protein, complex carbohydrates, fiber, flavonoids, antioxidants, sodium, and potassium. And here's the ingredients. 2 18-ounce jars of all-natural organic peanut butter, 4 to 5 ripe bananas, 3 scoops of chocolate whey protein powder, 3 ounces of roasted cocoa nibs, whatever the heck those are, 3 ounces of finely chopped dark chocolate pieces of dark chocolate chips, something like that, right? And that's the part I like. So here's the process. You got to mix the peanut butter after draining that gross oily stuff off the top, right? You mix the peanut butter, all the peanut butter, with the protein powder, the cocoa nibs, and the chocolate pieces in a huge bowl. And it sort of mixes up like cookie dough. And then in a separate bowl, you mash up the bananas into paste, and then you add the paste to the peanut butter mixture, right? So you just grind all this stuff together, and it makes like cookie dough. And then you get a big piece of, parchment paper or tinfoil or whatever you're going to put these things on, and then you roll it up into little balls, like ping pong sized balls, but I found those to be a little big. I would go with something a little smaller than that. And you put them on the cookie sheet or whatever your container is, and then you put them in the freezer. And then when they're frozen, you can take them out and put them in your pouch when you're running, right? And it's pretty good. So here's what Anthony says. These treats can be used during prolonged exercise for immediate fuel or for post-anaerobic workout muscle repair. I wrap each little ball in aluminum foil, and they stay cold for 2 to 3 hours, longer in the winter when tucked in a pocket, fuel belt, or in an empty water bottle of cycling. I usually add a few extra bananas to the mixture during the summer for added potassium, and I'll usually pop one or two treats per hour during prolonged exercise. So again, Anthony continues, all natural peanut butter seems to work best. I use the Peanut Butter and Company brand. And he goes on to list all his ingredients. I had to go to Whole Foods to buy all this stuff, which is another story. That's a strange thing. Okay, so I made these, and I take them running with me. And they're really good because these things are denser than uranium when they're done. And there's so many calories. And with the chocolate and everything, it's got a great kick to it, a nice slow burn. I found I made them a little big. I made them about golf ball size, which is really hard to chew on. Once they warm up, they get like raw cookie dough, and they're a little hard to chew on. It takes a lot of water. It really increases your water, and so you need water to digest them when you're running. But other than that, they were pretty cool, and I think they'd make great cookies if you cooked them. So, but, you know, if you weren't running an ultramarathon, I think these would be a very efficient means of weight gain. So that was kind of a long editorial, but I want to tell you about energy, Anthony's energy balls. And again, if you remember Anthony, we talked in episode 2. Cheers. Okay, folks, that's episode 10 in the can. I'm only sitting at 27 and a half minutes here, so that's pretty good. So that means I'm going to leave you with two cool tunes today. I spent some time listening to these tunes. They're pretty cool. I like them. I didn't ask Dan what his taste is, but I know his taste. I know he'd like them too. So, I have a couple of cool. If I can get McGilvery back on the phone, that'll be cool. I'll get that up next week. I also get on the schedule. I'm going to talk to Dave Dunham, and you guys probably know Dave Dunham, mountain runner extraordinaire. He's kind of personally responsible for keeping all the mountain racing going in New England, and a great runner, great guy. And I also have on my calendar to talk with the race director of the Vermont 50 that I'm going to run, which is interesting for me because I'd like to learn about the course and everything. I haven't actually studied up on it. I'm sort of a wing it kind of guy when it comes to races, so you know that's how I have my best adventures. So stop the presses. I just got a audio comment over the wall from Anthony, and I'll stick this in here because I got some extra time in this podcast, and I think you'll find it interesting. It's nice to know that Anthony is still worried about whether he should choose intimacy or speed at his advanced age. So I think you'll get a kick out of this, and please send me audio comments. I feel so bad about some of these podcasters not getting audio comments. I send them comments myself. So we'll talk to you.
Oh no, I just realized I don't have a bumper for listener comments because I've never gotten one before. So, buddy, we gotta go. Oh, we gotta find Bumper Girl. Bumper Girl is not here. She went to work with her mother. We'll go wake up Bumper Girl number 2. Hey, Teresa. Do me a favor. Say, and now for listener comments. Come on, say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Say it. Come on, say it. Say it. You're almost there. Come on, say it. Come on.
And now for listener comments.
Thank you.
Close my door.
No problem. Hey, it's almost 8:30. You should be getting up.
Hey, Chris, how are you? This is Anthony. I just wanted to share that I'm absolutely loving your podcast. I have subscribed off iTunes and listening to them during my runs and my workouts. I find them very informative and entertaining, a great mix. I came across this little quote, this little article that I thought you may find interesting. It's from Dr. George Sheehan, the self-appointed chief philosopher of running in the mid-80s. Dr. Sheehan was speaking about the quest for fulfillment and self-sufficiency for runners, and he quoted this Runner's Magazine poll from 1983, which stated running was so important to individual well-being, to the individual well-being of runners, that 23% of men and 38% of women readers said they would give up sex before they would abandon running. And now, I don't know if I would jump that far, but damn, I would love to run a five-minute mile. just thinking, banging out a 15-minute 5K or, you know, a 30-minute 10K. I don't know if I would be in that mix, but I'd love to run that fast. Just thought you may find it interesting and possibly a thread topic for a future discussion. Thanks. Have a great day, Chris. See ya.
We'll leave you with a couple of tunes here from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. And, you know, go out, go to this website, and find these bands, and for heaven's sake, spend the 99 cents, buy their song. They're starving artists. They need you. So that's why we're giving them a little exposure. The first song you're going to hear is called Do What You Need, and it's by the Cool Waters Band. And I'm going to throw in a bonus song called Machu Picchu Cool by Soul 3. So this is Chris. I will see you out there.
Everything feels right. Just mine. Take one step closer, hit you in the face. Keep you displaced. I'm a sinner, I'm a devil. But tell me what goes on when your curtains are closed. Only I should suppose. There's a hole in my head, there's a hole in my head, gonna let everything through, and you take it from me, it's been done before, got more in store, what they told me to do. Coming back, yeah. Go on, do what you need, 'cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Go on, do what you need, 'cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Go on, do what you need, 'cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Go on, do what you need, 'cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Go on, do what you need, 'cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Go on, do what you need, 'cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Go on, do what you need, 'cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Go on, do what you need, 'cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Go on, do what you need, 'cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Go on, do what you need, 'cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Go on, do what you need, 'cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Go on, do what you need, 'cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Go on, do what you need, 'cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back. Go on, do what you need, '
you what you need, cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back, coming back, coming back, yeah. Go on, do what you need, cause I keep coming back, coming back, coming back, coming back, coming back, yeah.